Let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. By the way, we're probably, before we finish the book of Isaiah, probably going to take a couple of breaks. There's a couple of things that I want to teach as little breaks. Isaiah is so long, so when we get to a break, we'll probably take a break in there. There's one book in particular that I'll just tell you about right now, just in case you want to do a little advanced reading on, that I've never taught in all the years that I've been doing this for almost 50 years now, I guess 50 years, that I've never taught that I've always wanted to. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. So the reason that you don't hear much about it, it is one tough book, okay? So if you want to get a little advanced reading, it's only 12 chapters, but is it power-packed? And I'm telling you right now, it's a tough one. It's almost like Hebrews. So many people avoid it, and that's a shame because the information in there for our everyday life is just so important. So I'm going to take a break somewhere in Isaiah and teach the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, if you want a real challenge, just go ahead and read it in advance and write up all your questions you got, okay? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 22, I think, is where we stopped. Isaiah here is declaring the greatness of God to the nation of Israel. You know, if you don't really understand how great God is, if you read Isaiah, he tells you how wonderful and marvelous and above everything in the universe that God is. Now, that's the God that we worship. Look what he says in verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. If you mark your Bibles, I mark mine. Mine's marked all over. I've got this in red. Christopher Columbus could have read this and not worried about falling off the end of the earth. Think about that now, okay? In the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church particularly taught and would not hear of anybody teaching that the earth was a round ball. All they had to do was go back to the book of Job or the book of Isaiah, and they'd have known that the earth was round. That's all they had to do. It wasn't complicated. So they finally got over it after they sailed around it and then realized it. But all they had to do was go back and read Isaiah 700 years before Christ. He told us the earth is round. Job did the same thing. In fact, the book of Job, I don't know how many people know this, but let me tell you a little fact about the book of Job. The book of Job is the greatest scientific book in the entire Bible. Think about that. So many people are so caught up in the discussion between the so-called friends and Job, between their dialogue, that they forget about the scientific facts that are put forth in the book of Job. Sometime we'll study it. That's another study of its own, another one that I want to do. But it's the most scientific book in the whole Bible. Job talks about the circle of the earth. God says he sits up on the edge of, and the inhabitants thereof is grasshoppers. We're people. It's talking about the people of the earth. We're just like grasshoppers to God. You don't think much of it. You know, grasshoppers, we had a garden. We had lots of grasshoppers out there. But we don't think much about it. But we are to God as grasshoppers are to us. Just another thing out there. Now, we are important to him. But as far as being in greatness to his power and his might, we're nothing. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is God. He has stretched out the universe, stretched it out like a blanket, like a curtain. I don't know how many of you, unfortunately, now that we are living in a society where in a city like Lebanon or Nashville or any of your big cities, you have all this lighting, and you really can't see the universe as it is. I don't know how many of you have been privileged to get out somewhere away from the big cities and out in somewhere like a desert or down in the jungles of South America and places like that. I've been privileged to that. And when you look up and you see the vastness of the universe, it's absolutely incredible. most Americans now grow up in this light society, and they don't ever see that. They don't know how beautiful it really is. Or to ever go up in the North Pole somewhere and see the aurora. It's fantastic if you get to see that. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth is vanity. You know, we have all these people, the election's coming up. We've got these people running for office. And we got the two presidents for the candidate there, for candidate for presidency. And then we've got all these people. They all act like they're big wheels. They all think they are so powerful and so great. This is the way they act, if you listen to them, that they think the world can't do without them. A lot of people thought that before. You know what? And they're gone. They're pieces of history. Some of them not even mentioned anymore. But they thought they were big shots. And this is what God says. You know, you people that think you're so big and so powerful on this earth, you're as nothing compared to God. Verse 24. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. That's going to be the end of all these people that think they're so great and powerful. Like I say, I've got the desk weight of Saddam, who thought he was the new reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to set up the new Babylonian Empire, and I've got his paperweight on my desk. He's buried in a hole out in the desert somewhere out there. He thought he was a big shot. For a while he was. And he caused the death of a lot of people. But he's dead and gone now. On and on and on through history like that is where these people wind up. And the people today that we see that are on the forefront, that think they're so great and big, they'll be in the history books someday for good or bad, whatever their life determines. Verse 25, to whom then will we liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who on this earth is anywhere like God? Is anybody like God in any way whatsoever? You got good people and you got bad people. Some people are a little bit better, obey God better. They put a better influence. And, you know, when they pass on, we miss them more than we do the others. There's some people on this earth that when they die, we really don't miss. It's terrible to say, but there are some people that live their lives in such a manner that when they die, nobody's unhappy about that, really. I go to a lot of funerals in a year, and it's very interesting. I like to watch people and listen to people, and you really find out what a person was really like, not by what the preacher says up there when he gives the eulogy, but you really find out what the person was like by standing in line and listening to the stories about the person that's laying in the coffin. That's where you find out what they're really like, okay? What are people going to say about you if it's you laying there? That's the thing people need to consider. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Now, that word created means to bring from nothing. All the scientists today, they go through cycles. Our scientists go through cycles about the creation of the universe. Well, we just discovered another glob of something out there with the new telescope we got, and now we know how things came into being. No, they don't. They just found something else. 20 years from now, somebody else is going to find something. If you don't think that's true, go back into the 1800s and start checking the scientific journals I have to see the creation, okay, of the universe. What the scientists thought, say, in 1850, and start checking that out as down through about every 20 years, they come up with a new concept of how the universe was created. And guess what? In our lifetime, they're still doing it. Just watch the papers or read a scientific journal, and each scientist that sees something new out there with a new, deeper telescope, he's got a new idea of how it was created. We don't know. We will never know this side of heaven. I think when we get there, if we're interested, God will probably tell us. But on this side, he hasn't told us how he did it. He doesn't have to. We just need to accept it. It's here, however he did it. I quit worrying about that question a long time ago. It doesn't keep me awake at night whatsoever. If he wanted me to know, he'd tell me. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out of their host by number. He calleth them all by names. All the billions of stars out there in the universe, if you can get down somewhere where you can see it, and you can see it's just nothing but an array of stars, God says he has a name for every one of them out there. He knows who they are. He calls them by name. The greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. There's not one star that goes out there that he doesn't know about it. There's not one star that is created that he doesn't know about it and gives it a name. That's the kind of God that we worship. You know, so many people today want to put God in some kind of a little box or put him under a microscope and say, yeah, this is God. This is how it works. No, you can't do that. He's not that way. Anybody have any questions so far? Okay, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Jacob, why are you saying God has forsaken you? Why are you doing this? God's brought judgment on you, but he hasn't forgot you. This is what they're saying. Judgment's passed over from God. God has brought judgment upon the nation of Israel. And this is who we're talking about here right now. God has brought judgment. He's going to bring more judgment in the future as time goes on. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faileth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Hey, Israel, don't you understand this God of yours is so great that you can't search him out? Just like I was saying, scientists today are trying to figure out how God did it. Okay? He hasn't told us. And we're not going to find it out. He doesn't need to tell us. He hasn't told us. Said there's no searching of his understanding. Who is smart enough to ask God any questions about how he did something that he didn't reveal? I have so many people come to me and say, well, I want to know about this. God hasn't told me about this. What about the dinosaurs? What about this? What about that? There was a time in my life when I did the same thing. But I began to realize that God told me what he wanted me to know. It's in this book. What he didn't tell me in this book, I don't need to know. That's where people become afoul of the occult. They say, well, there's more knowledge out here. This is how the occult gets people in. We have knowledge that God hasn't told you. That's exactly what Eve succumbed to. Satan says, hey, you know, Lucifer at the time, he says, Eve, listen, God's got some knowledge out there that he hadn't told you about. And you know, women are curious. They're kind of like cats. And they're curious about things. So he goes to Eve, and he goes to Adam. He goes to Eve. Eve, guess what? There's some stuff out there that you don't even know about. And that was the truth. But God had told Eve, I don't want you to know about this stuff. That's what the occult does to people today, and they're getting more and more and more people enticed into the occult. You can actually get a degree in college now on the occult in the United States. Yeah, there's some knowledge out there, and I've dealt with it because I thought at one time you could get it. I'm a firsthand knowledgeable person of that, let me tell you right now. What it is, it's out there, but you don't need to know it. And it can get a hold of you, and it can destroy you. And that's what they don't tell you. Believe me, it's there. There's no searching of God's understanding. What he hadn't told you, don't worry about it. If it's not in this book, don't worry about it. Go on and learn what's in this book. That's the thing that people need to do. If you learn everything in this book, then you've done very well. And right now, today, I don't know of a human being that's learned everything in this book. Okay, I don't care how long you study, you'll never learn it all. It's always something new to find out in God's Word. No matter how many years, even Brother Baker would tell you that, and he lived over 100. Any questions? Okay, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. If you need strength, if you need power, if you need help, ask God for it. He's the one that gives it to you. Whatever you need, ask him first. And this is what he kept telling Israel. Don't go to the Egyptians. Don't go to the Syrians. Don't go to anybody else. Seek me. I'll give you what you need. This is what our country should be doing today. We should be on our knees in this country and asking God, hey, God, what do we need? And what we do need, would you please give it to us? But I'll say this, as long as the country is seeking what it's seeking today, which is not him, the majority of Americans are not seeking God. They're seeking drugs. They're seeking fun. They're seeking concerts. They're seeking Hollywood. They're seeking money, power. And as long as the majority of Americans are doing that, we'll get no blessings. We're just going to get judgment. That's what we're going to get if they don't straighten up. God will give us what we need if we're faithful to him. God rewards those. You know, there's an old saying. I hate this saying. There's a saying that God helps those that help themselves. You won't find that in the Bible. I absolutely challenge anybody to show me that scripture in the Bible. I've had so many people through the years tell me that, and I've said, okay, show it to me. Call me when you find it. You know what? I've received no telephone calls because it's not in there. God helps those who are faithful to him. That's who he helps. And I tell these people that tell me that, no, here's what you need to say. God helps those who are faithful to him. That's who he helps. Not helping yourself, okay? You can't help yourself any more than anybody else can because we're fallen human nature. Anybody have any questions on that? If y'all say that saying, forgive me, but I'm telling you the truth, okay? Don't say it anymore. That's kind of like these news, the weather people. They talk about Mother Nature. Every time I hear that, I cringe. I would like to call the station and say, please don't make that statement. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. That comes from the occult, by the way. God makes the storms, and he's given us plenty of it here lately. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Doesn't matter how young you are or how strong you are. When I was thinking back when I was 20 years old, you know, what I could do then and how strong I was. And, man, I thought I could whip the world. Bonnie will tell you, that's what I thought. I couldn't, but I thought I could. And I could do a lot of things at 20 years old that I can't do at 75. I've had to learn that, and it's been a hard lesson for me that I can't do today what I used to do. And that bothers me. I have to ask forgiveness. But the youth are going to faint without God. This is what it's saying. Israel, without God, I don't care about your youth. I don't care about your strength. If you're doing it in your own strength, you will fail. If you're doing it in God's strength, you will succeed. Now, that's part of the future, and that will be Israel's strength when it comes time for the great judgment and the great testing. That's where that will come from. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. This is a famous saying that people use all the time. Only those who are going to mount up with wings of eagles are those that trust God. That's where they're going to get their strength from. And this is talking about Israel in the latter days, because two-thirds of Israel will die in the tribulation period. And at the very end of it, those that are left are going to do this. They're going to call upon God. We need you, or else we're going to be annihilated. And that will be the position that they're in. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God will give them extra strength that they will need at the end of the tribulation period to get them through the trial that is upon them at that time. It's talking about the nation of Israel. Anybody have any questions? Yes. Right. Exactly right. There's all kinds in the world, you know, and we each as an individual choose which one of those we want to be. Exactly right. What kind of a flyer do we want to be? You know, we want to fly. What was that, Don? Yeah, we all need to soar in our Christian life like an eagle and be, you know, put God's program out there before us for anything is what we should be doing. I want to remind you about the buckets for the gift for the flood victims down there in Louisiana. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful words that you gave Isaiah to let the world know that there's nothing like you in the universe, that you are beyond compare with anything in the world or the universe whatsoever, and that the only way that we will soar is by trusting in you and giving everything to you and living for you. Be with us this week, Lord. Be with our loved ones that are going to have surgery, those that are taking treatments, Lord, those that have been in wrecks, and all the situations that you know, Lord, just to give them the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the comfort that only you can give. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.